Curse.
Welcome to Speak and Destroy, episode 94. Speak and Destroy is a podcast featuring interviews about Metallica, and I'm your host, Ryan J. Downey. My guest this episode is Zarya. Now, you may have come across this story on Loudwire or some other metal or rock site a little while back, but let me give you this quick rundown about this episode's guest. So Zarya is well-known on TikTok. She makes music in the R&B and hip-hop genre. She has videos, TikTok-type videos of just her laid-back, chill personality, cracking jokes about different things, making observations about dating and relationships and that sort of stuff. TikTok videos with millions of views. So in one of her videos, she happened to be wearing a Metallica Ride the Lightning shirt and got a bunch of comments from dudes going, yeah, right, you like Metallica, or yeah, oh, okay. And one of the comments said, name three Metallica songs. So I'm going to play you right here the video that she posted the next day responding to name three Metallica songs.
Okay, so the other day I posted this video of me in a Metallica shirt and people were like, name three Metallica songs. I bet you don't even like Metallica. So my response to you guys is like, really? Only three? Only three songs? How about I play them on guitar for you? Also, sorry when I do this. It's my guitar face, so don't make fun of me. What else can we do? Enter Sandman? Everybody knows that. And even though this video is not about my guitar playing, it's about how I know the songs, someone's gonna criticize me for not doing leads, so here's that little fun thing in one. So social media does not do a very good job of showing the full range of who someone is. I am a huge Metallica fan, and I grew up playing guitar. Just because I sing R&B music doesn't mean I can't like metal.
Okay, so after that happened, Metallica themselves caught wind of it and recognized it and gave her props. And I will let her tell the whole story from here. But this was a very cool and fun conversation and a great lesson about gatekeeping. Remember, you can follow Speak and Destroy on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, as well as subscribe to the YouTube channel. Patreon supporters get access to bonus episodes culled from my interview archives over the years, interviews with folks like Glenn Danzig, Randy Blythe from Lamb of God, Kirk Hammett, and Serge Tankian from System of a Down. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Downey and on Instagram at SuperheroHQ. And please, if you would be so kind, go into Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and write a nice little review. Those really do help. So here it is, my conversation with Zarya. This is Speak and Destroy. I think your story, and this is something we'll get into in our conversation, I'm sure, but I think your story also really ties into social media and internet culture and this divisiveness. And, I find that from a philosophical point, a lot of people are so busy defining themselves on what they don't like that it's so much more, there's so much more courage involved in putting yourself out there and advocating for things you do like. I did an interview recently with my buddy Ronnie from the band Falling in Reverse, And he was pointing out how, just for the sake of it, he decided to look up wind on YouTube. And it's just 10 hours of the sound of wind that people play to like go to sleep to and stuff. And it has thousands of dislikes. Mm. He's like, dude, people go online to look up wind and cute puppies and babies to click dislike and talk smack. So it's like there's just something about that. So obviously the anchor for us talking was your experience where you're on TikTok, you're wearing a Metallica shirt. Internet people, as internet people tend to do, go, oh, you like Metallica? Yeah, name three Metallica songs. And you had the ultimate most badass comeback of all time. So if you're not sick to death of talking about it, why don't you walk me through that a little bit, and then we can talk about what came after and the responses and everything.
Yeah, so basically I was at a point with my music where I had just put out an album, an R&B album. I felt like this isn't really performing how I wanted it to. And I had always had this thing in the back of my head that's like, you need to get back to your roots, which I would say is rock music. You know, rock and metal is pretty much all I listened to in high school. But when I started to make music, it's like, that's not easy to make. It's really easy to make rap or R&B. So that's what I was doing. And I did well with it, but I was always like, okay, I've got to start like incorporating back in this stuff that's like important to me, which is like playing guitar and drums and just other kinds of music, right? So I was like, well, a good way to start bringing the rock stuff back in is to dress like I like rock. So I put on my Ride the Lightning shirt. I've had it for years, and you know, I was messing around on TikTok doing all the TikTok stuff. And I get the comment, you know, well, I got several comments, which is like, you don't even like Metallica. You name three Metallica songs was the one that really did it. So I was at the bar when I saw the comment, and I was like, I showed my boyfriend. I was like, look what this dude just said. You don't even like Metallica. I'm like, what's he talking about? But I had never really posted a lot about that on TikTok. It's more just like, you know, look at my face, da da da, whatever. Yeah.
Which made it all the much cooler, by the way.
Exactly. So it was very unexpected. Like, it was like a double side. That's why it really worked. And in hindsight, you know, it was a good thing. But anyway, the next day, because I was a little too, I tried to make the video last night, but the drinks were hitting too hard and the guitar playing was suffering. So the next day I put the video together, and I didn't put that much effort into it. Like, I didn't like try to look nice or anything. Like, I didn't have any makeup on. I was just like, I was really just trying to say fuck you to this guy, right? But then, like, when I woke up the next day, it had 40,000 views, and I was like, dude, I didn't expect that to get any views. And then, like, progressively, I think within a few days, like, Loudwire had posted it. And really, it was like the internet that made it blow up more than TikTok. It only got 500,000 views on TikTok. I've had videos get millions of views and like not have the same widespread effect that video did. So it really went viral more so like on the internet, like
almost like Instagram, traditional media in a weird way.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then of course it did. Yeah, like you said, Loudwire and Billboard, and eventually the band saw it and posted about it, I think, in their stories, right?
Yeah.
And that just had to be the ultimate kind of the ultimate victory in terms of
that was the goal. That was a goal, like, by the end of it, because at first I was like, you know what, this is cool, but the more attention it got, I'm like, okay, wait, Loudwire posted, I'm like, does Kirk Hammack like look at Loudwire? I'm like, is he gonna see this? And then I was like, okay, I have to like somehow get it to the band, like. And then like people were just like helping me, like tons of just guitar players, like Justin Bieber's guitarist, like followed me on Instagram, put it on his story, like was trying to send it to them, like other people from, like, I'm not even trying to like name drop, just like all types of fucking metal bands were like, dude, yeah, I'm gonna send this to them. And like the support was just crazy and unreal. So yeah, eventually they saw it.
Don't feel like it's name droppy, because that's what we do here. We talk about all the bands and all the different people that love Metallica, and
yeah,
I think some of the folks who've even been on the show had turned me on to the article in the first place. That was, I think it was the Loudwire article was even how I heard about it, or maybe just before that. And I'm like, you know, because I'm a fan and because I do the podcast, I have people text and send me and DM me everything Metallica related all the time. You know, sometimes I'll be seeing a meme for like the sixth time and I'll be like, I don't want to say I've seen this five other times, you know.
right.
Yeah. I figure, I feel seen whenever people send me that stuff.
Yeah, like, sure.
They know. It's nice they think of me when they see it. Yeah, and you know, it gets into a whole conversation, I think, about gatekeeping, where, you know, I grew up in the Midwest. I'm Generation X. I was into punk rock and skateboarding and metal and all of that. And it was a time where you could identify people that liked what you liked kind of by how they dressed and whatever. And it was so small. And then at a certain point, like anything cool, it gets bigger, you know? And it's like, I loved reading comic books when I was little and it wasn't cool. And now Marvel movies are the biggest movies anywhere ever of all time. It's like, I celebrate that. I love it. I love that this stuff that I loved got bigger and more successful. It doesn't offend me for other people to discover it. And I think whenever there's this thing where Justin Bieber, when he's worn a Metallica shirt, or Megan Fox wearing Megadeth shirts, or stuff like that, that pops up, Kanye West, and people go, oh, that's a poser, that, you know, they probably don't even know anything about that band or whatever. On the one hand, it's just a shirt. Let's say that at the base level, let's say worst case scenario, that someone is like, I think this shirt looks cool and I'm wearing it just for that fact. Who cares?
Yeah.
But beyond that, and I've always thought one of the great things about Metallica is that, you know, they get asked this question. People ask them like, oh, have you seen this picture of this person wearing your shirt? And every time they're like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
You know, yep. Jerry Only, when somebody from 5 Seconds of Summer wore a Misfits shirt on some big award show, and so people were asking Jerry Only in every interview for like weeks after, like, did you see that kid from 5 Seconds of Summer wearing a Misfits shirt? And he's like, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's like, too cliche anymore to like even say stuff like that. It's like, really? Come on. But yeah, I mean, my problem with it is that as a person who really loves and enjoys rock music as a young person, I can just see it dying for like the people my age.
Right.
Because there's so many older people who are just into gatekeeping it and not allowing other people to enjoy it. And I think that's even like, that's the ultimate disservice to rock music. It's like to let it die. And like younger kids are no longer discovering it, or they think it's just like the music that their dad listens to.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I had a different experience because I found rock music myself, and because I played guitar. Well, really, I played guitar because of rock music, but I had a sort of different thing. It wasn't like my dad's playing this. It was like, it was very like real for me to discover rock music. So it's like a really big part of who I am. And just like, people my age didn't even understand what was happening with the Metallica thing. Like, they don't get it. I'm like, do you understand this is the biggest band in the world? Arguably, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
They just don't have the same understanding of it.
Yeah, it reminds me also of when the band Black Veil Brides came along like maybe 10 years ago, and they were all 19, 20, and older metal fans and some older metal bands were like, oh, these guys are posers. These are little kids, and look at their makeup and whatever. And, you know, something Andy from Black Veil said to me way back then when they were on the Ascendance, is he was like, let's just say for the sake of argument that our band is terrible and that we're not great and we're not as good as Led Zeppelin. We're not as good as Metallica or whatever. Give us a chance. If you're dismissing us on our first record, you know, how are we going to have an opportunity? How will there ever be bands that will be able to find themselves and create their own identity and get 3 or 4 records deep and become those bands if you're constantly just being dismissed because you're not those bands? So right. Yeah, I think you're totally right. That's a big problem for this whole part of the culture. This gatekeeping and this sort of ageism that happens where people are dismissed if they're not young or cool, or if they weren't there, they don't know. And it's like, I mean, even for me being on the other end of that now, I remember as a kid, it was like, I wasn't around when Minor Threat was around, or when the Misfits were around the first time, or when Black Flag was touring. And so, like, when I was getting into punk and hardcore and stuff like that, there were always people of generations older than me that were like, you don't know what it's like. Like, it's already over. Like, everything now is lame. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's some element of that, I think, that's going to persist no matter what. But I think, you know, someone with your influence and your audience doing what you did and the way that you did it is just so perfect. It's like the kind of thing that needs to happen more, you know, to keep this moving forward.
Yeah, there's another guy that actually, like, Loudwire did an interview with him too, and I'd sort of like been seeing him in the TikTok world and algorithm and all that, but he's like, his name's Jairus Johnson. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yeah, and he just did that song with Jacoby Shaddix.
Yes, and okay, yeah, he's done fucking like Papa Roach. He's done Bullet for My Valentine, like, or not Bullet for My Valentine, Bring Me the Horizon. Sorry. But like, just like the power of that app is so crazy. It's like you show you've got all this support for something, and then people are like, okay, fuck it. Like, well, you know, we'll give you a chance. So that's sort of been like.
Did he do the Bring Me song from like a few years ago that just caused it to like blow up a whole bunch?
It was Can You Feel My Heart?
Yeah, that song. See, this is me being on the other end of that and not being that aware of the TikTok ecosystem. Mm-hmm. I watched the rock charts, and that Bring Me song is from like 2013 or something, and it's just like blown up. And someone told me, like, yeah, a TikToker got a hold of it. That's why
the
song's huge again.
It's absolutely insane. Like, I think the thing right now is like they're just saying, Can You Feel My Heart, with like this weird edit going on, and like a ton of people see it and they're like, this is a good song, and they go and listen to it. I'm like, this is a good thing, like, for especially for independent artists, which I am. And like, anyways, people like Jairus are just so like inspiring to me, because you see the power of what you can do with something like that.
Absolutely. And it reminds me of, you know, from like a historical perspective, hip hop in the late 80s and early 90s sampling, not only rock songs, but I mean, James Brown had like a whole second life because of hip hop. It's like he was already, you know, in the culture like that. Oh, that's your parents' music. And, you know, he was on like the oldies circuit. And then all these rappers started sampling all this old funk and old soul. And all of a sudden Parliament and James Brown and all this stuff was cool again, and they were like touring and they were big, you know. And for anyone who was like, oh, rap, they're just taking old records and like chopping them up and taking these little parts, and you know, it's there's no art to that. It's like there's so much art to it, and all it does is open up new audiences and new generations to that great stuff, you know. I think it's, and to me, that's what, you know, on its best day, a lot of the TikTok stuff and Vine before that, that's what it's doing for a lot of music that might not otherwise get its day in court with younger people.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. And that's part of what I've sort of felt like has been my new mission lately. It's like, okay, this genre of music is really important to me, and these kids don't see it, and there's too many people gatekeeping it. And I'm like, look, I may get a lot of hate for trying to like do rock music and blend it with R&B, or, you know, straight up rock music, whatever it is that I want to do. It may get hate, but I think kids need to hear it. It's, there's just so much repetition going on in the mainstream, and so much formulaic approach to the songs that are out. And I'm like, I'm kind of sick of listening to this shit. Like, there's something needs to be different, and I'm very ready to do that.
Yeah, and I think that an artist like yourself is uniquely positioned to be able to bridge the gap between different things. I mean, to me, the best artists are really always something you can break down into their, you can like reverse engineer the math of it, but it's someone combining things that had never been combined before and putting it through their own life experience that makes something new. You know, it's like, you could argue, you know, oh, Metallica's just Motorhead plus Diamond Head with some Black Sabbath. And it's like, yeah, but no one had combined those things that way. And then you take this Danish immigrant drummer and, you know, you combine all these ingredients and you get something new. And I think that's where a lot of great stuff comes. And so I feel like you're in a really cool spot where you could do something really incredible.
Yeah. I'm looking to put out a few songs soon. And the first one is very like traditionally R&B in the verse sections. And then the hook is kind of more rock. And I was like very adamant about having my guitar in there and having distortion because it makes it feel more impactful to me. And I found that when I was doing just plain old like R&B or hip hop live, I'm like, what do I do with my hands? Like, where's my guitar?
That's where you get a lot of this.
I just felt like bored. I felt bored on stage because in high school, you know, I would perform rock songs and I would perform like technical things on the guitar. And it was, you had to prepare to perform. Like you had to practice. You don't have to practice lip singing your song or like just getting up there and fucking like gesturing about. Like I just got bored of it. And I was like, this is not entertaining. And I really like, I'll sit and watch Metallica shows for hours because they're fucking entertaining.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I love rap music, but I can't say the same about, I'm not going to look up Drake and watch a Drake concert. It's not the same thing.
Yeah. And there's something, there's like an athleticism to a show like a Metallica show where there's so much physicality that's being put into the performance. Like you can't phone it in or else it's not going to work. So I was reading a couple other interviews with you before we, you know, were knowing that we were going to speak, and I saw that you heard Inner Sandman was the first Metallica song that you heard and then became the first riff that you learned on guitar. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. I was in fifth grade when I first heard it, and my teacher was showing like the Virginia Tech Hokies coming in, and I didn't care about that when I heard the song. I'm like, wait, what is that? And then she would play it. And so I was kind of like, okay, this is Metallica. But I was in fifth grade, so I didn't really have the means to start, you know, searching that. And then when I was in eighth grade, I had another teacher playing Saint Anger, and I really looked up to that teacher a lot. And you know, Saint Anger is very different, and a lot of Metallica fans don't like it. I do love it, by the way, but at the time I'm like, okay, so this is also Metallica, Inner Sandman. I'm like trying to put things together. I didn't love it at the moment, but eventually I was like, okay, I do like this band a lot. And then so that was my eighth grade year. Ninth grade, I only listened to Metallica. And that is not a joke. Like, I listened to their entire discography. And I was just exploring it album by album. And I was just going through. And I'm like, this is my favorite band. What else do you need?
Amazing.
But anyway, ninth grade was when I also got my first guitar. So it just sort of went hand in hand. Just exploring that stuff. And when I really got into it that year, I was like, I could play the guitar. Like, I could figure it out. And I definitely did. And I spent a lot of time just playing the guitar. It made me really happy because I was like, wow, I can make this. Like, I can do what they're doing. So it was great to have as a kid, and it kept me out of trouble. You know, I wasn't like, not to put myself on a high horse, but like I was just being a nerd, like sitting at home trying to figure out how to play Metallica and Steve Vai. So I was very different for that reason. So.
That's killer. But yeah. And like you said, what more do you need? Right. I mean, there's so many, and this comes up on the show all the time. There are so many bands and so much music that's kind of all branches from the Metallica tree. I mean, David Ellefson from Megadeth is the first one who said that to me. And I think about that all the time now, when you, even just in the direct connections of obviously Dave Mustaine being in Metallica and Kerry King was in Megadeth at one point, and the way that all those bands intersect and how Metallica's just such a big part of the root of all that stuff. And then the way that they lead backwards, because for me, getting into Metallica meant discovering, you know, Diamond Head and Merciful Fate and The Misfits and all this stuff that they were influenced by themselves. They were always so celebratory about what they're into. So it's really cool and kind of shocking almost to think about you having teachers that put this stuff in front of you. So what was that school experience all about? I mean, that's just hard for me to wrap my head around because I never had teachers that were anywhere near cool enough
to right. have been doing yeah, that. I don't know. I think, I mean, I've always paid a lot of attention to music, not so much in school, but like I will pay attention to those things. And I don't know, maybe I was just like sort of meant to find it. And I think like the more that I looked back on like what just happened and like the fact that a band that I looked up to so much is like, now they follow me on Instagram. I talk, whoever runs their account, I pretend it's the whole band that I'm talking to.
Yeah.
But like they talk to me and I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, this shit like all was sort of planned out to happen and it happened for a reason. So, you know, maybe it's not the case that many teachers are like playing this kind of stuff, but that's just the way the cookie crumbled, so they say.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just went to regular old like public schools in a very small town.
That's like you said, the luck of the draw or some sort of divine intervention and putting that plan together. That's so killer. And I love that the band and their team have always continued to have their ear to the ground and to pay attention to what's happening. And because they don't have to, you know, no. They're like you said, they're the biggest band in the world. They don't, you know, they don't need to take out opening acts. All those tickets are sold before the lineup is even announced. And right. yet they are constantly paying it forward to bands that they've influenced and stuff like that. So going from Inner Sandman, which was, you know, famously a Kirk Hammett riff that was rearranged by Lars, what were some of the next songs that you tackled? And secondary part to that question, when you put on your guitar right now, if you're warming up or just riffing around or whatever, what are some of the more likely things to come out of your hands? Like, you know, what riffs are you usually just kind of your go-to comfort zone?
Yeah. Well, okay. So the first question I would say probably something like Crazy Train or Wherever I May Roam. I know Nothing Else Matters is a very simple just little pick, you know, so all of those sort of at the same time. You know, the simple stuff like Iron Man, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, probably not too different than any other guitar player that's like trying to learn. I do remember though that I felt like I was finally playing the guitar when I could play the chords to Boulevard of Broken Dreams. And like, it's so simple, but I just loved, you know, the song. And I was like, okay. And I can like still remember when I got to play it, like, and I was doing the strumming pattern and I was like, okay, like I can play the guitar. And so just those little victories is like what really kept me in it.
Yeah. Those moments where it all connects and you're like, I'm that thing I love. I'm making it right now. Like I'm creating it.
It.
Yeah. Super cool.
Absolutely. And in terms of today, I honestly don't know, like the stuff that I'm doing on my records now is just sort of like soloing. Like I like to put a guitar solo in the songs now because I'm like, wow, this adds like a whole nother dimension. And I feel like the guitar solos in non-rock music are just kind of dying, that it's not really mm-hmm. a standard practice anymore. And I'm like, this is cool. And this is like something unique to me. So I've started to do that. But in terms of like just warming up, I don't know, man, like maybe some Red Hot Chili Peppers stuff. I don't know. I'm not very religious about the guitar anymore. It's just sort of like something that I'm bringing back in, but the solos are like what's really coming out of that. And those are very Kirk Hammett inspired, I will say.
Nice.
Just those sort of like bluesy approach to mm-hmm. It's not super shreddy because I don't sit and practice all the time, but I'm like, what are the notes that need to be in this part? And like, do they need to be bends? Do they need to be slides? And because I've listened to so much rock, it's like, I know exactly what I want and what I'm going for. And it actually makes me a better guitar player because I hear it before I play it. So instead of like sitting and practicing like I probably should, I just try to like do it more intuitively, and so far
it's really
worked out, and I don't claim to be like some sort of virtuoso, because I'm not, but there's just not many like R&B artists who are like incorporating a lot of rock, so I think where I'm at, I'm very happy with.
Yeah, it's and what you're describing in your attitude and your approach to it, I think is very similar to a Dave Mustaine or a Kirk Hammett, in that, you know, not to say that they aren't shredders, of course, but that the solos and the stuff they create is much more about feel and much more intuitive, and it's not look how fast I can play, look how many notes I can play, look how this, listen to this crazy scale or whatever. It's more in service to the song. I think about that with Kirk's solo playing in particular. Yeah, like you said, it's very blues based. It has that, there's like some Stevie Ray Vaughan in there in addition to like the Michael Schenker and whatever, you know, shreddy stuff that he probably grew up loving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that that's in service of the song. And I think you're, you know, my sense of you is that you're more of a musician and a songwriter overall than a guitar person. And you know what I mean? Like in that sense of like, there's some people that are just, their gig is just to be a hired gun and show up and shred. And you're thinking about the bigger picture.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to be a guitar player at one point. My biggest achievement with just being a guitar player was I got to play with a symphony orchestra, and I was like the main act, and I played in front of like 300 people, but that was kind of the end of that and then I thought, okay, well, I'll just keep going with this hip hop and R&B stuff. And I thought it was fun, but then I got to a certain point with it. Like I was telling you, like, what am I doing on stage? Like, what am I supposed to do with my hands? This is not entertaining. Like, I'm not entertaining like these guys that I look up to. So I went about trying to change that.
Yeah, that's cool. And I love that you mentioned about the guitar playing in pop music in general and the solos. Cause I think about like when I was in elementary school and Eddie Van Halen is playing on Michael Jackson hits, you know, and it was like, there was much more of a synergy and much more of an attitude of with pop songs that like you wanted to bring in the big guns for some of those parts. I guess now I think about Nuno Bettencourt playing with Rihanna is kind of the modern equivalent of that.
Yeah.
You know, this rock shredder in the R&B world. You know, you were talking about stuff that you're working on right now. Do you have any kind of plan as far as what you'll be releasing or how it'll be coming out? Or obviously everything's different in the pandemic landscape with performing and all of that, but what's sort of on the horizon for you right now?
Yeah, I mean, I have a few records that I've done that are sort of still getting finalized. And it's been sort of a transitional period for me trying to figure out, okay, who knows how to mix rock vocals? Because I was doing R&B before and they're like, wait a second, what are you doing now? You're yelling, like, we don't know. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like last week I did a rock record that was supposed to come back and the guy's like, look, I just don't know how to mix this. And so I need to outsource that. Like somebody else is going to have to do it. But I do have one that is ready, and that is the sort of like R&B rock sort of, you know, fusion thing. And I really like that song. I'm just waiting to hear back from the studio to get all the paperwork done. And I think within the next few weeks we'll have it out and ready. I got the album cover back and I was like, this is it looked sort of like a Tool inspired cover art, but I was like, I don't know if this is too weird or if it's like weird in a good way, so we'll have to see about that one. But yeah, that one will come out very soon. And then following that, I've got a couple more rock records, and I was supposed to be shooting today. Later today, we're in San Francisco.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was thinking like about the Metallica ties here, but
yeah, you're like, do I just show up to HQ? I'm like, see who's around.
Maybe I'll run into someone, but that hasn't happened yet.
you should drop them a line and let them know that you're around, you know. Maybe Lars wants to have you on his radio show that he does with Apple.
Oh shit,
you never know. Before we wrap up, I want to ask you, what were some of your favorite reactions and responses you got through this whole experience? Obviously, knowing that Metallica is aware of it was the top, but what were some, I mean, whether it was surprising, whether it was hilarious, whether it was weird, what were some of the things that came about that you were super stoked on?
Well, the first thing was like, Metallica's response made me cry. I was like, they literally, their page posted something to the effect of like, much love, your talent speaks volumes or something like that. And I was like, oh, and I was just crying. But awesome. There was another Instagram page that had posted it that had like millions of followers. And I think that's what really ended up boosting my engagement on my page. And one of the people who came out of that was Miley Cyrus. Wow. And so she had followed me and I didn't notice for a few days. And then when I did, I was like, what the fuck? I like send her a message and I was like, just to let you know, if you ever need anyone to do guitar, you know, she was like, yeah, let's do it. So really haven't heard back from her on that, but just the fact that like that came out of it and she's killing it in the rock sort of charts right now.
That rock record is super cool. It's got that like Plasmatics inspired album cover. And she's been saying, I don't know what the status of it is, but I'm sure you know this too. She's been saying in interviews that she's doing a Metallica cover record.
Yes.
So you got to be on that. That's got to be the next step. Like,
come on now. Let's do it. Let's get this done. But yeah, that was probably the coolest thing out of that. And just down to earth. Another really big Metallica fan is Dan Cantor. He played guitar for Justin Bieber for a really long time. I guess he still does, but he's a super nice guy. I got to, it's a small interaction with him, but just, and like Slayer's bassist had followed me, just like different little things that were like, wow, this is actually like really viral. And like that was the only video I've had videos get like millions of views, but that one with like 400,000 or 500,000 is the only one I would say is like actually legitimately viral.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the way that it has crossed beyond what you obviously building any kind of audience is incredible, and you've built a significant one in the TikTok world, but to have then transcended the boundaries of that outside of your normal audience, it's like a one in a million kind of thing. It's pretty great.
Absolutely. It was just like the perfect thing and the perfect time, honestly, because like I said, I was like, I've got to do this like rock thing. And the first thing I did that was just the most authentic version of myself that I had ever posted on that app is like, what did it? And I was like, no longer am I going to fuck around trying to like look like something else. I'm like, I guess I'm pretty cool and I need to like just be myself.
Yeah. So. Well, and it's so cool that purity and that earnestness, and it kind of brings it full circle, because that's the Metallica spirit. That's what their whole thing was always about, was unpretentious and without, you know, of course they wanted to conquer the world, but they weren't sitting around going, how can we get on the charts? Or they were just like, we want to make the stuff that we love. And if people like it, cool. If they don't, who cares? Mm-hmm. And I love that. Yeah. This, everything that's happening for you right now is thanks to this really punk rock moment where you're just like sitting there reading some hater comments going like, man, fuck this guy. Oh, can I name any songs? How about this? It's so cool. And I think if continuing with that attitude is going to serve you well as you go forward in your art and the stuff that you make, and you know, the right people respect that, and that means the world. So, well, awesome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day in San Francisco. But yeah, well, don't be a stranger. Keep in touch, and you know, without being a punisher, you got to stay on Miley.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
because getting on that Metallica record's the perfect moment.
You still doing that? You still doing the Metallica stuff? I know all their songs.
I was gonna say, somebody's got to play those leads for her.
Yeah,
that's awesome. But yeah, well, cool. Well, thanks again for doing this. I appreciate it. I'll let you know when it goes up.
Oh, thank you. Just let me know, and I'd love to listen to it.
All right, cool. Have a good rest of your day.
All right, you too.